We've been talking lately, the last 4 weeks actually, we've been talking about praise and worship. We talked about the first week of March, on March the 1st, we spoke about life of a worshiper. We talked about the meaning of worship and got a lot of definitions of praise and worship, singing, lips, shouting, clapping, lifting hands. And then the next week, on the 5th or on the 8th, we talked about the purpose and intent of worship. And we identified what worship is and talked about many scriptures. A lot of what we taught cannot really be taught. A lot of facts about worship and praise. But if you don't catch it, you're not going to get it. It's got to be caught. It's like a relationship. A marriage, you can learn all about marriage, but when you get in marriage, how many know, you got to work at relationship. Are you there? How many know that marriage is more dying than living? Come on. Somebody say amen quick. It's more dying to ourselves than living, and a relationship with Christ is more dying to ourselves that Christ may be glorified. And so this talk about all this praise and worship talk that we've been doing has been wonderful. But if you're not there, if you're not catching it, if you're not hungry for a relationship with God, it's just words on a page. This is not really going to change our hearts. And God is, I'm convinced that God is after us to change our hearts. And the emphasis on this praise and worship. And tonight I want to talk about, you can pass those out if you like, contents and reasons for worshiping. And just as a recap, we're going to be some repetitive things that we've talked about. But again, repetition is good, because we need to remind ourselves that worship and praise is one of the foundational stones of any local church. Worship and praise brings us together, binds us together, brings the presence of God, brings the prophetic, brings the healing, brings the success in warfare. How many know we are always and constantly in warfare? Amen. We're in warfare all the time, whether we want to be or not, because the enemy of our souls is after us to distract us and do all sorts of things. And so we're continually moving in the direction. Here at New Life, we're a full gospel church, in case you didn't know. And we identify with the entirety of Scripture. We do not have pet doctrines here. We don't beat on one drum. We take the whole entire Word of God and we try to obey it. How many know there are facets of the Word of God that are complete? That's why we call ourselves a full gospel church. We don't just look at one thing. We don't look at tongues. We don't look at healing. We don't look at those. All those things are very important, but the full embodiment of having a relationship with God is really spearheaded in the area of praise and worship. It brings us together. One of the things that we practice on a regular basis, twice a week, is the preaching, teaching of the Word, as well as a time of praise and worship. We praise and worship. We come together because of the knitting together that takes place. Paul addresses the Corinthians and he said, the ear can't say to the eye, why are you here? The hand can't say to the foot. And it brings us together in worship. So much of what we talk tonight about, it's facts, and it's good facts. It's the Word of God, and that's true. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But facts don't make a relationship. Somebody said, when I was a young guy, when I wore a younger guy's clothes, what we used to say is, too much spirit you blow up, too much word you dry up. Anybody remember that? Too much spirit you dry up. Nobody said that here, probably. That's a Pennsylvania thing. But it's important that we become well-rounded Christians in addressing every issue that the Word of God says. And sow it into our relationship with the Father so that it remains fresh and exciting. Because there are people looking right now at where they can go. The rats are leaving the ship. Ships are sinking all over the place. Education isn't what it's supposed to be. Come on, someone. Relationships are not what they're supposed to be. The other night I watched a special on CBS. It was talking about gender identification. And they said, we started out the program, there is more than two genders. I said, boy, this is interesting. And so they had a scale and they said there's male, there's female, and there's part male, part female. There's no sex at all. And then there's part male, part female. Or there's part lesbian, part straight, part fluid. You know, and they interviewed one guy that says, I'm neither. I'm not male nor female. I'm just somebody. You know, and I don't appreciate you calling me he or she. You have to call me Zen. And they're serious about those kind of things. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Oregon, California, Washington right now. It's crazy. And they're teaching it as fact. They're teaching it as fact. This is no longer arguing. You don't argue the point. You know, you meet somebody that's not male or female, you have to honor what they say. You're not a male or female, you're just something. What are you? Well, today I'm a male, tomorrow I might be a female, and then the next day I'm gender neutral. They can change. The one guy they interviewed said, tomorrow I might be a woman, today I'm a man. I might be and nothing the next day. You know, and most to the person, listen very carefully, because to the person, I watched it till I got sick of this. I was about ready to throw up. I couldn't watch it anymore. But to the person, about six people that I saw them interview, to the person, they said, when I found out there was more than two genders, I knew I'd found my home. See what it is? I found out that there's more than two genders. Until then, I knew there was only more two genders. But now I've been told that I don't fit in a male or female, so I could fit in something else. LGBTQ+, now they're calling it. It's sick. I don't want to start chasing that rabbit because I'll go all the way down the trail. But we want to talk tonight about this very important, just kind of tie up this whole month that we've talked about praise and worship. But I wanted to start out with that, you know, that we can't teach. There's most of what I found out in the years of teaching and preaching, that most of what we teach and preach cannot be taught. It has to be caught. It has to be caught. You have to pursue it yourself. You have to get in there and trust God to show you these things. You get it. There's a point where a light goes on and you say, I get it. The worship means something to God. It's not just something we fill time in. We don't come to church and spend 20 minutes or 30 minutes or, my gosh, can you believe they've been worshiping 45 minutes? Can we get to something important? No, that's important. That's where God inhabits. That's where God moves. People get healed in worship. People get set free in worship. People get delivered in worship. It's an important facet. People win wars in worship. Because why? We're focusing on the Creator, not on the problem. We're focusing on the Lord. We're asking Him, we're giving Him all the praise and the honor and glory. We're ministering to the Lord. So, that's my soapbox. So, number one, worship is prescribed, Roman numeral one, worship is prescribed for the New Testament church. It is to be worship in the Spirit. John 4:21. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, I don't know if you've ever read these scriptures in quite this way, but we're going to do it tonight. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Somebody say, is of the Jews. How many know if you're a Christian, you've been sown into the olive tree? But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. What's God looking for? God is looking for worship is prescribed. He demands our worship. Hello. We say, well, I'm not much of a singer. Who cares? Nobody's talking about being correct note-wise. Nobody's going to ask you to sing a solo. I pray we don't. It's your worship that's coming from your heart. What is God? It's a beautiful sound to God. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. It's to be worship in truth. Truth is personified in obedience, following the command set forth in His Word. Word of God says over and over again, praise Him. Worship Him. Worship me. Lift up holy hands over and over and over again. So you kind of get the idea. It's like your wife saying, you know, if you really love me, you'll take the garbage out. I love you, honey. I'm rushed. I'll get it tonight. If you really love me, you'll take the garbage out. I'm tired. I'll get it in the morning. If you really, how many know when God keeps saying, do these things, and He puts in front of it, here's what He puts in front of it. He puts in sacrifice. He already knew it was going to be a sacrifice for us a lot of the times. God, I'm rushed. God, I don't feel like it. God, I'm sick. God, I'm under attack. God, I don't feel like worshiping. The sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips giving praise to Him. That has to be caught. That has to be something that we know is going to move Father's heart. Even in the midst of when we have a good excuse not to worship. God, I know that I haven't worshiped. Today, I've got a good excuse. No, and God says, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Worship me in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. Worship is according to the pattern of David's tabernacle. Acts 15:15 says, and with this the words of the prophets agreed, just as it is written, after this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind, say the rest of mankind. The rest of mankind. That's me. How many is part of mankind? If you're not, please see me afterwards. The rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, that's me, that's you, says the Lord who does all these things. What's He doing? He's saying, I not only purposed in my heart to send Jesus to die on the cross and take care of your sins, but I am rebuilding a place of praise. Jesus was trying to tell the woman at the well, there's a day coming and now is where men will worship in spirit and in truth. Now is, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. He will rebuild the ruins. He will rebuild the tabernacle of David because He desires worship and praise. And not the three stanzas in the hallelujah. That's all working up to the real praise and worship that comes from our spirit, man. Come on, someone. Man, when you reach that place, you've all done that. When you reach that place, you don't even care what the words are. You just, something comes up out of you and you just are worshiping. Man, you're singing songs that aren't even on the screen. Shut the screen down. I'm just singing what I'm singing before the Lord. That's the creative thing that God does for us. And He put something in each of us. He put a power plant in every one of us. We don't need anybody else. It's a power plant. Yesterday I was with Tom Bahota. We're working on a gift. We're working on a truck that I was given. And, by my son, I called him today and thanked him for the gift. But, so we're working on the thing so we went to get a cup of coffee at the house and we came back to the garage and there was a heater there and the heater was heating the garage. I mean, it was kind of chilly out there. I'm laying on a cement floor. It's kind of nice to have one of those, you know, one of those long tubes with the fire coming out the end. And so we got back and the thing was off. It wasn't working anymore. And the electricity was still plugged in. The electricity, if I had followed the cord to the plug and then the plug outside, then the wire to the wires and then the wire out, electricity is everywhere. How many know it's everywhere? The power of God is everywhere. And this little salamander thing quit on me. You know why? Because it was out of gas. It was sparked by electricity, but it ran on gas. You are sparked by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is everywhere. See? And you're always plugged into God. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But if you don't keep your tank full, you're going to die on the vine. We all have a power plant within us. We all have this thing that's churning within us. And the fire of God is above us. And he's always working on our behalf. And always, if we'll ask Him to fill our tank, didn't David say, fill my tank? Is what he said. God, I'm a little empty. My cup overflows. In your presence, my cup overflows. God's intent is that we're always full. I told my daughter when she was still living at home, I don't know how many times I told her, gas, when you get down to half full, it's empty. Because I want a protective dad. I don't want my daughter out driving a car. She had a little car that the gear shift was broke, so she used a pen to shift gears. I'll tell you about that later. But I mean, it was safe enough. But she'd allow the gas tank to get down to, I'd get in it to move it or get in. You know, she'd be going somewhere and I'd go with her. Or she'd start up and I'd give her a kiss and I'd look at the gas tank. And there's that much gas. I said, honey, I love you. I don't want you to be out somewhere and run out of gas and have to call me to come get you. Half empty is empty. When you start feeling distant from God, it's time to stop and praise and worship and get your tank full. It's absolutely imperative, because when you run out of gas, right away you're on the phone, you're on Facebook, please somebody pray for me, I'm depressed, I'm out of gas, come get me, some come rescue me. Come on, and we'll do it every time. We should do it. Turn to somebody and say, I'll be there for you. But see, we have that Holy Ghost gas tank all the time. We just go and get filled up. Stay filled up. Several reasons why. Number one, Paul quotes from Psalms and describes worship of those who will be saved. Romans 15:9 says, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. Paul quotes from the Psalms. What is his intent? What is he talking about? He's talking about praising the Lord. Number two, the Psalms of David, not Davis, were a vital part of New Testament worship expression. Ephesians 5:19 says, we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I wonder if we practice that more, where we would be in God. How you doing? Oh, I had a terrible week. I'm sick. My back hurts. Man, I can't wait. Almost got in an accident on the way over here. As opposed to, how you doing? I'm blessed by God, man. I was just reading in Psalms that His mercy endures forever. I'm under the mercy of God. Man, just pray with me. Rejoice. How many know what that would be if we'd speak that way all the time? That's not being a fake. Now, if you got problems, come, pray. You know, I get that. But sometimes we let words take us away. You know what words are? They're screwdrivers in our gas tank. Put a screwdriver in a gas tank, what happens? Leaks out. Come on, somebody. That's what they are. We talk about the problem. Let's talk about the solution. I know you got a problem, but let's talk about that's worship. See, worship is 24/7. Come on, someone. How many of you know a relationship with your spouse is 24/7? It's not an hour at dinner time. Come on. It's 24/7. It's working out. And this thing of worship, Paul says, rejoice. There's a place where he says, rejoice always. Paul, what are you saying? Rejoice. What do you mean rejoice? Just what I said. I didn't mince my words. If you look in the Greek, rejoice always means rejoice always. There's no secret to that, see? The Psalm of David is a vital part of our life. Because now listen, in the book of Acts, again, God said He would rebuild the tabernacle of David. So when He says that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns, can you imagine people sitting around the tabernacle of David talking about and writing the psalms that we read? Hey, check this out. Man, I just wrote this. Hey, I want you to, what do you think of this? Let me get it now. I got it here somewhere in my diary. I just wrote this. Look, let me get there. I wrote so much. Psalm 37. I'm going to call this the 37th Psalm. Trust in the Lord and do good. Asaph, put some music to that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Man, somebody's saying, you know, I needed to hear that. David, number three, compared the New Testament church as the rebuilt tabernacle of David again. Number four, many New Testament passages express a similar expression in worship. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, underline all the people if you're there, or mark it on your paper there. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Acts 3:8, so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Someone had just been healed. Guess what he was doing? Worshiping. Acts 16:25, midnight, Paul and Silas, we just talked about this Sunday, were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Just been beat till they could hardly lay down, but they said, oh, we're sore, but let's praise God. Medic! Medic! Acts 24:14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call it sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. There it is. There's what I was quoting. Rejoice always. I pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Praise God. I love that. I'm glad that the writer of Thessalonians, Paul, did not put for everything give thanks. Turn there with me. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians 15. Or Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Look at it with me, because this is a command of Scripture. Paul's writing the Thessalonians, and they are under attack. We'll talk about it this weekend, but Jason was thrown out of his house and beat in the streets, and they took money from him because he was holding meetings in his living room. And Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, including Jason, and saying, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Not for everything. I'm not going to thank God for the attacks of the enemy, but in the attacks, I'm going to say, thank you, God. Praise you, Lord, that you're my deliverer, my strong tower, my shield, my buckler. You deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling. Come on, somebody. Everybody awake tonight? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Look what it says. Say, what's the will of God? God, I don't know what your will is. One thing I can tell you, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing. For this is the will of God. Rejoice always. For this is the will of God. Well, God, I don't like that. I don't like this will. You mean I can't have a pity party time? Because I like pity party times, God. You know what pity parties are? Pity parties are telling somebody a story they haven't heard. You can't do that with God because he's already heard it. You don't need to enunciate the problem. You just need to say, God, I praise you. I worship you. I thank you that you're delivering me from this. You don't need to tell them all the problem. You know, I get around sometimes people who are praying and they pray the whole problem. God, you know that I got up this morning and the car wouldn't start and I had to kick the dog and I went, you know, blah, 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 blah. And now, God, I want you. Well, who cares about all that? God already knows that. God, deliver me. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God, you mean to tell me that no matter where I am or what I'm doing, I'm to continually sacrifice and praise to you? God says, you got that right, buddy.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you got that right, buddy. This is my will. Continually offer the sacrifice of praise, and I'll deliver you from the noise of pestilence, from the snare of the fowler, and from the enemy. I'll do it. I'll deliver you. I promised I would. What are you doubting me? Praise and worship me. Lift your hands to me. Look what happened last week. We talked about 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat said, God, Lord, deliver us. Lord, there's too many of us in the whole city, in the whole area. They all fasted and prayed, and God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. Because you praised me and didn't worry about that, you called out to me, I'll take care of them. You just show up on the battlefield, I'll do the rest. That's the God that we serve, if we do it right. over and against all the Israelites on behind the rocks. 1 9-foot-6 giant had them stymied. What would have happened if they just said, God of Israel, we praise you, we honor you? Goliath would have been dead day one.
Amen.
Day one, not day 40. Some punk kid has to come out of the little ruddy-faced 14-year-old boy comes out and shows all the men up. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people? Man, I'll tell you, I had a lady that was in school with me. It's years ago. I remember she had I talked about it, the couple. Her husband had some kind of a disease where he was a quadriplegic and he had brain damage. And so she would bring him in on a wheelchair, bring him into the place, and during praise and worship, man, she was caught up in God. And sometimes she had to minister to him, and she had to use a thing to suck the mucus and stuff out, and it was just a lot of work. But you never knew by her face that she was under any kind of stress. She set the example for me, because I'd come in, I'd be working, the kids would be crying and the thing, and I'd have to work 2 jobs and go to school, and I'd be, God, I don't feel like worshiping. I'd look at her, and she'd be like, caught up in the Lord. I'd say, if she can do it, I can do it. Praise God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Why? Why? Those are neat things to be called. Why are we called those things? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Paul says, you're these things, and the purpose for being these things is to proclaim the praises of His Word. Proclaim the praises of who He is. He delivered you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What can man do to you? Nothing. Come on, somebody. And whether we know it or not, I got a news bulletin for you. This is the modus operandi in heaven. Can you believe it? It's the way they do things in heaven. That's the way they do things in heaven. Can you believe it? They're always praising and worshiping Him. Man, I thought we were going to eat the fruit of the vine and hang out by the river. This is also the form of worship in heaven. Revelation 4:9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Why are they doing that? They're already in heaven. Why are you still praising Him? You're going to be there. God promises you will be with Him forever. They are so caught up with the glory of God. Daily this thing goes on. Every day they're worshiping continually, throwing their crowns down, picking them back up, throwing them down every time they look at the glory of God. You look at Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song. Can you imagine? A new song in heaven. A new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. I'd love to hear the melody to that. For You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Glory to God. Can you imagine the praise and worship coming forth? Revelation 7:11. All the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. People wonder where Adam and Eve are. They're before the throne. Where is Moses? Before the throne. Where is Elijah? Before the throne. Where is all those people? Before the throne. Worshiping God, praising, pouring out their spirit to the Spirit of God. Get used to it. That's the M.O. in heaven. Revelation 11:16. And the 24 elders who sat before the throne on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God. There they are in the throne. I'm one of the 24 elders, man. They're not receiving any worship. There's nobody coming to them bowing down. They are bowing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. This thing that they're pouring out, coming from their inner man, coming from their spirit, that's what we're going to be doing for eternity, my friend. I don't know what else we'll be doing. We'll be busy, but we'll be. One thing I do know is that worship and praise is continually going on in heaven. That's how important it is. I was raised in a church where we sang, you know, you opened up, we sang a hymn, a dirge. Man, I'd fall asleep reading it, you know. The organist was terrible. My goodness. She couldn't play out of a wet paper bag. Pardon me?
Turn to page number 97.
Yeah.
First, second, and last.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And so you always skip the third verse. You never want to sing that because that was the most convicting verse. You don't want to read that. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Don't get me wrong. I love that thing. But listen. Praise and worship is something that is an electrical happening in heaven. It's the powerhouse of heaven. It's what the center of heaven is all about. And we get to partake in that every time we come together. Whether we're sitting at home praising, but when we come together with corporate praise and worship, there's a powerful thing that takes place. God pays attention. He dispatches angels. He said, the Holy Spirit says, man, I am going to manifest here. These people are worshiping me and honoring me. I'm going to take care of their sickness. I'm going to take care of their poverty. I'm going to take care of them. Why? Because they're putting me in first place. And that's the way things roll in heaven. That's the way things roll. You don't have to twist God's arm to do anything. If you're putting Him in the right position, He takes care of all things. Peter says, I cast all my care on Him. Praise and worshiping. I mean, we had a picture of that on Sunday when we talked about Paul and Silas. Can you imagine being whipped with sticks and cords and all kinds of things and the back just laid open? I talked about it on Sunday, but can you imagine? They said, what are we going to do? We got nothing else to do. Let's praise and worship. And they started praising and worshiping. God says, you see what their people are doing? Get down there and set them free. Doors open, shackles drop. Come on, somebody. We want signs and wonders to happen. Praise and worship is a key to that kind of thing. It's key. It's absolutely important that we do those things. We don't have people setting up their worshiping for tradition. It's not turn to Psalm 60 or page 67 and sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's worship. It comes out. And these people are to lead us into the gates with praise and into courts with thanksgiving. And then when we get in there, then it's up to us to benefit from that. If you're in true praise and worship, it'll always come out as a benefit for you. Come on, somebody. It builds us up in our most holy faith. Come on. Oh, Jesus. Revelation 15:3, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. You mean they're singing Old Testament songs in glory? Yeah. They sing the song of the servant of song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name. For you alone are holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Revelation 19:1, and these things I heard, after these things I heard a loud voice, a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. You can't read that and be angry. You can't read that and be sad. Man, you mean salvation, glory, and honor and power belong to the Lord? Man, you're shouting that. By the time you get to the end of that sentence, your spirit man is going, I'm digging that. Let's read that again. What was worship like in David's tabernacle? God said He's restoring it. So if He's restoring David's tabernacle, He's not doing a new thing. God's not doing something new. He said, I'm restoring God's tabernacle or David's tabernacle. So what was praise and worship like? 2 Chronicles 29. Turn there with me. 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Look what happened. Say, well, they were having church. You better believe they were having a church. This is a Holy Ghost church. 2 Chronicles 29:25. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals. He said, turn to page 60 now. With string instruments and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began. Hallelujah. Woohoo! What's the song of the Lord? Get in there and find out. The song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshipped. The singers sang and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and they bowed their heads and worshipped. If God's restoring David's tabernacle, that's what he desires. He's not trying to do something new in that sense. He's saying, I loved it so much, I'm going to restore it. That 33 years that the tabernacle was in David's backyard, that was God. That was me. That's where I shine. I loved living there. That's my favorite place to live, God said. Amongst my people. Inhabiting the praises of my people. So I'm going to rebuild that. They did the same. They did not do the same formula over and over again. There was not a prescribed order of worship. There was a set form. As I've said, I'm looking for the day I come into worship and it just goes off the charts. I've been in a few of those. I pastored through a few of those. Man, rich, rich. God just ministering. Nobody preaching. Nobody saying anything. The Spirit of God just moving through worship. B, it was worship from the heart. Psalm 86:12. I will praise you with my whole heart. This was the only kind of worship God has ever desired. He doesn't want us to have a divided heart. He doesn't want us worshiping and thinking about the gift of the truck. He doesn't want us thinking about something else. He wants us thinking about Him with our whole heart. It was expressed through brokenness and humility. Psalm 51 says, God will not refuse a broken spirit and a contrite heart. God, I love you. I thank you for what you did for me. I thank you that you delivered me. God, I thank you that you put me away from darkness and I exist in your light. God, I give you praise and honor and glory. While I'm doing that, you're going to take care of everything that I'm concerned with. God, I cast all my cares on you. I've worshiped from my heart, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And it was regular and often. You can read Psalm 34, 72, 119, and 145. It was corporate with opportunity for individual expression. 1 Chronicles 6:31 says, now these are the men whom God appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark came to rest. They were ministering with music before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of David until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they served in their office according to their order. That was the time of the 33 years. And it had a strong element of praise. You read Psalm 148, 149, 150. It says, praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Why such an emphasis? Well, the easy answer is it was commanded by God in Psalm 22:23. You can read that. God is worthy of our worship and praise. I mean, He's worthy. Nobody else saved me. I was unsavable. I was done. I don't owe anything to my wife. I don't owe anything to my, in the area of salvation. I don't owe anything to my first preacher, my mentors. I thank God for them. But my only allegiance is to the Lord God Almighty. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen tonight. God is worthy of our praise and worship. Worship glorifies God. It helps develop our relationship with God. It releases the power of God's presence. Psalm 22:3. We become like what we worship. When we worship and spend time in the presence of God, we look more like Him. We look more like Him. If you ever notice that when you have a great day of worship and praise and you've been in your prayer closet, you come out, you see somebody, man, they want to talk to you, they kind of look at you like, what's that glow? They don't say it, but they know. They know there's something different about you. Hmm? That's the way we should be all the time. Little powerhouses. Electricity is everywhere, but my tank is full. I'm going to keep heating the area. We never did get any more gas in that. I froze on that cement floor, but anyway, that's another. First Peter 2, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's our priestly ministry. What happens when we worship? Just to kind of tie it up here. When we worship, we have victory over our enemies. We have victory over our enemies. I challenge you, if you are going through any battle and you enter worship, when you come out, you're going to have the victory. It may not manifest that second, but you're going to have the victory, and God will give you. See, when Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, the minute Jehoshaphat humbled himself and fasted and prayed, the war was won. The minute that he did that, the war was won. It still had to be fought, but the war was won that immediate second. And when he began to worship, the city began to worship, God said, I'm going to give the... You got the victory. You still have to dress up. You still have to show up on the battlefield. But I give you, when you get the victory, immediately. It may not manifest. You still may have to wait. I've often said, I'll stand by it. God does not have, I got it on good report. God does not have a wristwatch. There are no clocks in heaven. He's got his timing. In the fullness of time, he'll deliver you. But he does it when we worship and praise. He said, man, I'm on your side. I'm going to win this war for you. What happens when we worship? We are released from bondage. Very good. Acts 16, 16 through 34. Paul and Silas. We went over that this weekend. Paul and Silas worshiping. God delivered them. And again, he said, doors open, chains fall off, you're free. Wow. We talked about earlier in Acts when Peter was imprisoned. And he was worshiping God till he fell asleep. Angel of the Lord had to kick him. And kick him in his side. Wake up, Paul. Or Peter, wake up. Get up. Wake up, Peter. Peter got all the way outside and he got to one of the iron gates and it opened on its own accord. Scripture says it opened on its own accord. Release from bondage. Say, I can't get over. Man, I have this sin. I can't. I've done this New Year's resolution a million times. It just doesn't work. Praise and worship God and honor God and lay it before Him and watch Him deliver you. Watch Him deliver you. You worry, you're focused on the problem. If you're focused on the problem, you'll be problematic. If you worship on God, you'll be instamatic. Come on. I'm worshiping God despite what I feel, despite what I see. I don't care what happens. I'm going to worship God. It works. How many know it works? We had moved down to Charlotte after pastoring in Philly. I thought I would love being not pastoring, which was another whole story, but pastored for 10 years and felt like maybe it was time to go do something else. That's not the case, but anyway, so I did not like Charlotte. You can ask Terry. I mean, she loved it. We were near our kids. I loved my grandkids. I hated Charlotte. Drove around Charlotte. I hate this place. Started just complaining. And man, I had no inner peace. I had no inner joy. It was like walking through tar, you know. And I began to praise and worship. Started going to a church down there, Steel Creek. And man, began to worship God and honor God. Still didn't like Charlotte, but I had inner peace and joy, casting all my care on Him. Come on, someone. It works. 1 Samuel 16, 4, 14 through 23, it gives inner peace and joy. What happened to even Saul, who was on the outs with God? God sent an evil spirit to Saul. David played the harp, and what happened to the evil spirit? He worshiped God like he was going to not many years in the future, he's going to build that tabernacle in his backyard. He was already doing that with the harp, singing new songs to the Lord. Saul was possessed by demons, and the evil spirit would leave him when, what happened? Worship. Pastor, will you come pray for me? Oh, will you just pray for me? I need prayer. I need somebody to help turn on the shit. Where is Benny Hinn when you need him? Where is the Joy Club? I mean, get something on it. No, God says, just begin to praise and worship me. Come on, somebody. Fourthly, large problems are solved. You don't believe me? Look at what Joshua faced in Jericho. I mean, it's big words. Big words God was talking to Joshua. He said, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. How many know Joshua's ears perked up now? And he said, wherever you place your foot, I've given it to you. Come on, somebody. How many know that was a good word? Amen. Joshua was feeling pretty good about himself. Not only that, but all the people said the same thing as God said. Be strong and of good and courageous. And be of good courage. The Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Wherever your foot's tread, God's given it to you. We are behind you, Joshua. Go! And then, Jericho. Come on, somebody. Jericho, where you could run four chariots wide across the wall. And I'm sure Joshua was probably thinking, yeah, you're going to do what you did for Moses. Moses didn't have to face no Jericho. Moses just had a little water to spread, and then he got out to the desert, and you took care of him all this time. We get to Jericho, and you even dry up the manna. I mean, this is... Come on, somebody. And that's where the test of God is. When you praise and worship Him, things don't get easier. Sometimes they get tougher. Jericho was a tough pill to swallow. But as they praised and worshiped, what did God have them do? Walk around the city and shut your big mouth. Nobody could say, hey, look, they're running four chariots wide up across those walls. Look at all those people. Look at that city. How are we going to ever do that? Because they were forbidden to speak. And when they did speak, they shouted, worshiped. Large problems are solved in praise and worship. Fifthly, special protection from enemies. God said in Isaiah 4 that He would cover them as a cloud by day and a fire by night. He already proved it in the desert for 40 years in the wilderness. He already took care of them. How many know if God could do it for them? Turn to somebody and say, God's going to do that for me. He has done it for me. He is doing it for me. I don't want to live in a world where God lifts His hand for me. I'd be out quick. I don't believe there's a demon behind every bush. I believe there's about 9 or 10 of them. But God gives a victory over us all. Every square inch of ground we take for the Lord is going to be a battle. That's just the way it is. We live in a wicked earth. Amen. Talking to earth people that have no idea what we're saying. Right. It's special protection. God protects us until when? Eternity, always. People say, well, why did that person die? Why did the missionary die? Why was there 90,000 people died last year that were killed for their faith? I don't know, but God got the glory. I don't know, but God got the glory. They're standing in heaven going, we know, but we ain't telling you. And lastly, when we praise and worship, what happens when we worship? A special manifestation of God's presence. The priest began to minister. Solomon put the capstone on the temple in Chronicles, and the priest could not even stand in the temple. The glory cloud came. Can you imagine? The very reason Solomon said, man, I want to, David, my father had the tabernacle in his backyard. I'm going to build this glorious temple for you. Look at it. Man, the cornerstone, the capstone, look how beautiful it is. The pillars, the things, the steps. I mean, even when that queen came from Sheba, whatever her name was, and she saw Solomon ascending the steps. She gave gold and silver and all kinds of gifts to him just because of the way it was a beautiful temple. But when the glory cloud came, nobody could minister. Why? Because they had in their hearts to honor God and to worship God. God says, I'll come, but when I come, I'm going to come in all my glory. And that's what we're waiting for in this city. It's what we're waiting for in this county. It's what we're waiting for in this nation. Hallelujah. Is the glory of God to come. Amen. And change what we couldn't change. We couldn't move an inch. The church pushing and sweating. We're getting down. Man, I remember pushing cars. You get on the bumper. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Hold the bumper and you can't get it going. God says, let me turn the key. Come on, someone. Praise and worship is so very important. It's not just a casual thing we're talking about, so we know how to be good charismatics. This moves Father's heart. This moves Father's heart. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, oh God, that we would catch this. Lord, that what, oh God, is in our hearts would glorify You, God. God, that we would not wait to be told, that we would not wait for another teaching, God. We would not be stubborn and say, we don't get it. We do get it, God. We do get it, God. All You want is our praise and worship. It's so simple that, Lord, we've passed it over so many times. God, please. While on others You are falling, oh God, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. Fill me again. Fill me again with Your presence, God. Fan the flames. Put the gas in my tank. God, that my power plant might be glorifying You in all that I think and all that I say and all that I do. God, we recommit again tonight before You, Father. We're going to revisit this thing. We're going to change things in our life. We're going to move things around. So that, God, You are first place in everything we do. Not just a reminder on Sundays or a reminder on Wednesdays. But, God, we're going to put You first in every day and every moment. God, help us. We can't do it without Your Spirit, Lord. Father, thank You for giving us of Your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank You for dwelling in us. And we, with the angels, with the elders, give You glory. We give You power. We give You honor. We give You strength. To Him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To Him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever. To Him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To Him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Oh, we bless You, Lord. We honor You, God. We worship You, God. We worship You, God. In the beauty of holiness. In Your sanctuary, we praise You. Oh, God, inhabit the praises of Your people, Lord. Move in our midst, oh God, in a powerful way. Your glory cloud, oh God. Oh, we bless You, Lord, with all our hearts. We bless You, Lord, with all our soul. We bless You, Lord, with all our strength. Glory to the King of Kings. Glory to the Lord of Lords. We praise and magnify You. Shalalaliyanda, lalaliyanda, koshalamaniya. Fire of God, fire of God, fire of God come, fire of God come, fire of God come. We praise and magnify you, Lord. Praise you. Come on, let's shout to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We praise you. We magnify you, God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Magnify you, God. Yes. Holy Ghost. Praise you. Glory. Glory. Glory to the Most High God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.